Company were shifting fast. At the other end of the hall, the golems were sorting the endless mail mountains. In fact, in a small way, the place was bustling. You should have seen it, sir. You should have seen it.
Litwig, are you?
He snapped out of a dream of chandeliers to see a thick-set man in front of him. Recognition took a moment, and then said that this was the owner of Hobson's Livery Stable, at once the most famous and most notorious such enterprise in the city. It was probably not the hive of criminal activity that popular rumour suggested, although the huge establishment often seemed to contain grubby-looking men with not much to do apart from sit around and squint at people. And he was employing an Igor, everyone knew, which, of course, was sensible when you had such a high veterinary overhead, but you heard stories. That, for example, stolen horses got dismantled at dead of night and might well turn up with a dye job and two different legs. And it was said that there was one horse in Ankh-Morpork that had a longitudinal seam from head to tail being sewn together from what was left of two horses that had been involved in a particularly nasty accident.
Hello, Mr. Hobson, said Moist.
Seems you think I tied out all horses, sir, do you? Said Willie Hobson.
His smile was not entirely friendly. A nervous Stanley stood behind him. Hobson was big and heavy set, but not exactly fat. He was probably what you'd get if you shaved a bear.
I have ridden some that... Moist began, but Hobson raised a hand.
Seems you want fizz, said Hobson.
His smile widened.
Well, I always gives a customer what I want, you know that. So I've brought you Boris.
Oh, yes, said Moist. And he'll get me to Stowlat, will he?
Oh, at the very least, sir, said Hobson.
Good horseman, are you?
When it comes to riding out of town, Mr. Hobson, there's no one faster.
That's good, sir, that's good, said Hobson,
in the slow voice of someone carefully urging the prey towards the trap.
Boris does have a few faults, but I can see a skilled horseman like you should have no trouble. Ready, then? He's right outside, got a man holding him.
It turned out that there were in fact four men holding the huge black stallion in a network of ropes while it danced and lunged and kicked and tried to bite. A fifth man was lying on the ground. Boris was a killer.
Like I said, sir, he's got a few faults, but no one could call him a feegged-up old screw. Still want a horse with fizz?
Hobson's grin said it all. This is what I do to snooty buggers who try to mess me around. Let's see you try to ride this one, Mr. I Know All About Horses. Moist looked at Boris, who was trying to trample the fallen man, and at the watching crowd. Damn the gold suit! If you were Moist von Lipvig, there was only one thing to do now, and that was raise the stakes. Take his saddle off, he said.
You what?
Said Hobson. Take his saddle off, Mr. Hobson, said Moist firmly. This bag's quite heavy, so let's lose the saddle. Hobson's smile remained, but the rest of his face tried to sidle away from it.
Had all the kids you want, have you?
He said. Just give me a blanket and a belly band, Mr. Hobson. Now Hobson's smile vanished completely. This was going to look too much like murder.
You might want to think again, sir, he said. Boris took a couple of fingers off a man last year. He's a trampler, too, and a snaffler, and a scraper, and he'll horlock if he can get away with it. He's got demons in him, and that's a fact.
Will he run?
Not so much run as bolt, sir. Born evil, that one, said Hobson. You need a crowbar to get him round corners, too. Look, sir, fair play to you for a gayman, but I've got plenty of other...
Hobson flinched as Moyse gave him a special grin. You chose him, Mr. Hobson. I'll ride him. I'd be grateful if you could get your gentleman to point him up Broadway for me while I go and conclude a few items of business. Moist went into the building, ran up the stairs to his office, shut the door, crammed his handkerchief in his mouth and whimpered gently for a few seconds until he felt better. He'd ridden bareback a few times when things had been really hot, but Boris had the eyes of a crazy thing. But back off now and he'd be just a fool in a shiny hat. You had to give him a show, an image, something to remember. All he had to do was stay on until he left the city and then find a suitable bush to jump off into. Yes, that'd do, and then stagger into Stowlat, hours later, still with the mail, having valiantly fought off bandits. He'd be believed because it would feel right, because people wanted to believe things, because it'd make a good tale, because if you made it glitter sufficiently, glass could appear more like a diamond than a diamond did. There was a cheer when he strode out onto the steps again. The sun, on cue, decided to appear from the mists and sparkled off his wings. Boris was looking apparently docile now, chewing his bit. This didn't fool Moist. If a horse like Boris was quiet, it was because he was planning something. "Mr. Pump, I shall need you to give me a leg up," he said, slinging the post-bag around his neck.
"Yes, Mr. Lipvig," said the golem.
"Mr. Lipvig!" Moist turned round to see Saccharissa Cripslock hurrying up the street, notebook in hand.
"Always a pleasure to see you, Sir Clarissa," said Moist, "but I am a little busy right now." "You are aware that the Grand Trunk is shut again?" she said.
"Yes, it